Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Let you just worshipfully be seated for just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just a moment before we bring Michael up here, we're just, if you've not had the opportunity, or if you have and you just feel like God's saying more, I really want you to believe God with me for them to go away here from here blessed. It doesn't matter the size of the crowd, I believe God can bless them. And so we're just going to believe for that right now, and I'm going to ask you to listen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you're the one that does the providing, whether it's for this house, for our life personally, for anyone that comes in. For many years, Lord, we have made this confession. We have more than enough in this house for many to come and for many to go. And Lord, we speak that right now. We ask you, Father, to speak to hearts, that the generosity will flow in this house. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, if you just put one basket here. If you would stand with me and just give somebody a greeting, and you can find your seat. Hallelujah. God bless you this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Father, we just worship you right now. We'll give you all, oh, wow. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Masokedene. Makarochene sini. Yes, sir. Well, seldom you get instruction, then you're not the preacher to be teaching, but then you want to give a request to the one that is. And I just heard him say, I don't know, I know this will bear witness with you, and of course you do whatever he says for the rest of it, but I think I need to hear, and I think we need to hear some more, just if it's just a brief part, about some of the force of consistency of what it took to come out of some of those real bad times physically. And then do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. But I begin to hear in my spirit that scripture that it says, tribulation worketh. What does it work? Well, the first thing it works is patience. In other words, it'll turn you over. The very first thing that when anything real hard hits you, the very first thing it meets, if you're going to walk it out, the very thing it meets is patience. That is the force. That's hufamene. It's the force of consistency. And patience then gives its way over to experience, which is you have to get in there and work the experience. But somewhere in the experience, hope comes along. And that hope is not ashamed. In other words, you won't be embarrassed at the end of it, or you won't say, I did all that and it still offered no fruit. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the end result, the bottom of everything, the end of every end of every end of every end is the love of God. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, if there's anything a church that's going into revival needs to hear, is the force of consistency. So when he was saying that the other night, and you heard me say, I think I mentioned it this morning or something, that it just amazes me, but I've seen it in my own life as the tax have increased in the last few years as we've gotten closer and get closer and closer to that mark. I never knew then 10 years ago or 5 years ago, the force of consistency that it takes, but is there by grace. It's there by grace to go ahead and win, to go ahead and completely win all the time. And one of the things that amazed me when I heard his testimony is that the major kind of diseases, and then he'd fight it for a year, just tooth and toenail, and just in prayer and prayer. Well, once you got a reprieve on something like that, when I was a kid growing up, I didn't know, you know, I wasn't grown then. And so I didn't know, like, a kid when they're growing up, you know, they're innocent. And they didn't, like, I didn't know, you know, the hardship of what maybe my parents were going through or other people were going through. So, but I do remember this. There was a victory. Like, I remember that we could go to church and mama or grandparents or whatever would get a baptism in the Spirit, like it, a blessing. And it seemed like that blessing they wrote it for weeks. I mean, it just wrote it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, they were high on it. I mean, it gave them a force of consistency. Now, because things have turned up in the Spirit, they've been so dramatically turned up because we're getting close to the end. It's like if you don't get your drink of experience continually, last week's blessing will not. It will not hold you over. I'm finding out that yesterday's blessing will not hold me over. I've got to continually walk in that place. Well, you'd think, like, if you got a reprieve after a year or something, you'd like, whew, past that, and thank God that was enough for a whole lifetime. Well, when something that big hits you again, you'd think that's just going to absolutely cripple. And it would. It cripples most people in the world. I mean, they can't psychologically. Oh, by the way, don't miss Wednesday night. We're teaching on psychological warfare. It's called psychological warfare. And you would think psychologically, there is no, you can't dig deep enough again to reach into that well to find hope to come out of something that you won, that it took you a year to come out of. I mean, most people would throw in the towel. But you know, did you know this? And it, you probably do. Do you know? Do you know this? Do you know that his hope or your hope never runs out? It never runs out, no matter how many times. Why? Because it's not your hope. It's his hope. So then by the time he got knocked down the second time, I'd have thought, my God, you should be sitting on the side of the road or sleeping under a bridge. And for sure, three times. Do we not serve an awesome God? Well, if he dies, he's bound and determined he will not die of sickness. Hallelujah. Would you welcome my friend, Michael? Hallelujah.
This morning I forgot to mention something, that when I was on the doorstep looking into hell, I had a demon on one side and a demon on the other side. And this is part and parcel of what I'll be sharing tonight. And that was when I cried the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the dynamite of heaven, right? And so when I cried the name of Jesus, it was like dynamite. These things flew off my arms. And I just come back up through that tunnel and back into the body. If you weren't here this morning, it may be on the tape, but I didn't mention that part and give the Lord enough glory. It was him that brought me back. I think that, Father, in Jesus' name, we're excited tonight, Lord, about who you are and what you're about to do. I thank you for the message this morning, but Lord, it's built for tonight. We have come expecting. We have come believing. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I just humble myself under your mighty hand, that everything that I say and do be to your glory. Lord, any words of mine, just let them drop off to the side. But I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you'd open up the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that we would know the hope of your calling. Lord, we need to know the hope of your calling. We need to know, Lord, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to know that we stand with right standing. Because, Father, we know also that if we don't know that, then we'll never receive a healing. Because we will never feel ourselves being worthy enough to be healed. Father, we need to know the hope of our calling. We need to know that we have been redeemed. We've been bought back, pulled out, and set free. We've been bought back from the enemy. The enemy was our God at one time. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world is under the sway of the enemy. So we've been bought back by his blood. We've been pulled out of his domain, pulled out to be free, to be everything that the Word of God says that we can be. So we've been bought back, pulled out, and set free. Father, you have downloaded mysteries to us. You have showed us how. And Father, we know that mysteries are spiritual hidden truths that are in you, Lord, but are now being made manifest to your saints, for us who go to you. We know that without faith it's impossible to please you, Lord. But he that comes to you first will receive these mysteries. We believe that you are, Lord, and we believe that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, I pray tonight that some, maybe especially me here tonight, that there's something in my mind in terms of your word and belief and the belief system, the clinging on to, the relying on, the trusting in you, that would fall from my head to my heart. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't want head faith. We don't want just head relationship. We want heart relationship. And as Pastor said, Lord, in Galatians 5 and 6, it says, faith works by love. So, Lord, let your love flow tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do and the healings that will take place physically, mentally, and spiritually tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that dynamite that's in that name. Hallelujah. Father, just let your glory come. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, Lord. You're omnipowerful, omniscient. You know everything, Lord. You're omnipresent. You're totally loved, totally sovereign, totally righteous, totally love, totally immutable. You cannot change. You do not lie. And your word says, by your stripes we're healed. We just give you all the glory. Lord, as I speak this word, I thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Thank you that the word of God is truth. And he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. We have the spirit of truth living in us. Not a spirit, the spirit of truth. And he's running the mind of Christ through us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Lord, help us to get to the place where we not only just read your word, but we read as we're praying in the spirit. Father, balance us in the keys that we need to grow strong in you. Whether it be meditation and assimilation, or fasting, or private worship, or confession, or praying in the Spirit, Lord. Father, are just sitting there in your presence, enjoying you and fellowshipping with you. Father, cause it to happen. Because we want it, and we'll do our part. In Jesus' name. During some of the sicknesses that I had, at least one of them, the Lord came and visited me 4 times. You have to remember, I was alone. Donna was generally out working. And I was alone in my home. And I would not turn the television on. Anytime that I was sick, I felt that I would need to do this as a sort of like a job, not as works, but just sort of, hey, I need to do this, and I need to do it from this time in the morning till this time. I would break for lunch, but I would pace the floors back and forth and back and forth. I had more than three sicknesses that I don't generally talk about, but they came with the sicknesses that I did have and that I do talk about. But the Lord visited me four times. He was teaching me some things. And every time that he was visiting me, I would go for a pen and a paper. And over each time, he was showing me that, hey, don't do that. I just want fellowship. Man, did that hit me like a ton of bricks. The point I'm making is that he wants fellowship. The next time he walked in, I happened to be writing. He walked in, not physically, I didn't see him, but he walked in very strong, his presence, and made it known to me. I just put that pen and paper down. I says, Lord, I worship you. I just began to worship him. There is no other way. There is no other way. I said I didn't watch TV. Now, there's nothing wrong with TV, some of it anyway. But we all know that it's a distraction, or it can be. These days it may not be TV, it may be other things. But we have got to get a handle on it, and we've got to get control of it, and we've got to work it out of our life. The Bible says in Romans 6:14, it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. If there's something in your life that is a distraction and it's sin, get it out. Get it out. Because if you need to go to that place to get there, the enemy's going to put in many, many distractions. A lot of them are good, because there are a lot of things that you need to do. I was talking to my daughter earlier. Up in Toronto right now, there's over a foot of snow, again. It seems like that whole area is being hit hard. Although Toronto and Canada is more used to dealing with it, but still, it's another foot of snow, a distraction. They have to go out and shovel this stuff and find a place to put it, because after a while, the banks become so high, you just can't shovel the snow and throw it way up. So there's so many distractions. You've got to contact people and get the snow out of there and so on. But even if it's something like that, we need to make sure that we put God first. What I generally do now, I'm on the road a fair bit, but when I get home, I can't wait to get into the prayer closet, which is my third bedroom. And I can't wait just to go at it and get all the stuff that maybe tried to get on me while I was out there, and just calm down and try to go deeper in the Lord. There's nothing else I want to do, nothing else I need to do for periods of time. We started a prayer meeting at church, and I asked them, excuse me, I said, I'd like you to come in on a Thursday night, and I will just keep you for 1 hour. I didn't want to add a whole lot of more meetings to them. And when they came in, we did 20-20-20. 20 minutes of praying in the Spirit. And I know this is common, but maybe this is just a reminder or a refresher. After the 20 minutes, we went into 20 minutes of worship without the worship team. And then the last 20, we confess the word based on situations and circumstances, and as the Lord led. When you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. When you worship, We know that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So now you built yourself up. And now the presence of God is there, and you're moving in faith with him. And now you take his word and hammer something. What mountain is in your life? As a church, it would be corporate, and it'd be other things. But as an individual, I mean to do that. I'm saying 20-20-20 because that's fairly easy. But when you start doing hours and hours and hours, you really see things begin to happen. It's like the working of miracles. You don't have to tell people. All you know is that God has told you to pray for that particular person. He doesn't even have to tell you what it is. But as you're praying and you see that person change, or this develop in their life, or the mountain move, you kind of quietly just go about your business, but say, thank you, Lord. Because miraculous things are happening. And that's what we need to do as the body of Christ. Because it's not about us. The Lord will take care of our needs. He'll provide every need that we have. But he wants us to be ambassadors, reconcilers. We are new creations. Do you realize that? We are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The old things that have passed away is the law, the covenant of death. I mean on tablets and physically seeing them and so on. Them commandments are written in our heart, as Pastor said this morning. So we take that. And I know that, the enemy would like us to think that we're under a curse. But as a Christian, we cannot be under a curse. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the curses. It's Old Testament. The people in the Old Testament were not born again yet. God wanted them to have something to mirror and to walk by. They couldn't keep it. But the law was right. It's so right that he written it in our hearts today. We don't read it like as Moses gave it, but it's in our heart. We know it. If we steal something, nobody has to tell us. We know that. That's the point I'm making. And so we take the word and we confess it. Because over the period of time that I had them sicknesses, it became my lifeline. Lifeline. And so the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need the word. We are in a warfare, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this. It brings every thought into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people say, how do you do it? I just went along for the ride. It wasn't easy. There was a few times I thought, you know what? I don't know if I can do this. And a couple of times I wanted to call the family over and say, well, I think this is it. I'm done. I remember one night in particular, I was laying on my bed. I said, Lord, I'm so exhausted. You see, out of the three sicknesses, the first time I was full of many fears. But I quickly learned that in Job it says that he is my redeemer. So I found out that my redeemer lives. And I was full of these fears that had to go. And they went. Praying in the spirit and confessing the word. The second major sickness, I was very weak. I didn't have the fears that I had the first time, but I was very weak. I remember I couldn't even lift my hand over my head. But even if I had to lay down, I would not quit. I would not quit speaking the word, even if it's one sentence, one line. If you came into my house, you would see posters all over this particular prayer room. You can hardly see the wall in some areas. But in any case, if I was laying there, I would read it. But I knew I had the victory. And God helped me. I will not take any glory for this. And he showed me how. This is the way you walk ye in it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have to have that hope. You can't look at what's going on right away, right there. If you do, you're done. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, for me, may not be for others, but for me, I believe it's Mark 4 and 34, 35. The Lord said, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. He didn't tell them that there's going to be great storms. He didn't tell them there'd be opposition. He didn't tell them that you'd have to fight a fear. He didn't tell them that water would be coming into the boat. Or, in our case, he didn't tell us that there'd be a sickness. When we came to Christ and we become a new creation, we just know that, hey, we got to get from this point to that point. So we're in the boat. But we got to get to the other side. They got to the other side. When Jesus says, get in the boat, we're going to the other side, he didn't say or mean, get in the boat, we're going out 100 feet and we're going to see the storm, we're coming back. To me, that's one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. We have passed over, if you will, and the curses have nothing to do with us unless we allow them. First of all, we have to be very careful about what we say and how we say it. I've heard many people speak a great word of faith over themselves. By his stripes I'm healed. And the next sentence unravel all of that. And you might say, well, I'm getting real religious on this. Well, no, I'm not. You have to be very strategic. It's like the enemy has watered it down in our minds. If you're praying and you're praying to God and you really don't know why you're praying, or if you don't know what you're praying for, that's exactly what you'll get. If you go to God and say, well, I just want you, Lord, to do this particular thing, but it really doesn't matter, and all the rest of it. Well, it doesn't matter. Don't pray that. Many of us, if not all of us, have prayers on the shelf that have not been answered yet. But I'm telling you something, if you can, get rid of them, start over, pray in faith. The lady who had the disease for 12 years, she was very simple in terms of what she did. She had seen Jesus. She had spent everything. No doctors could help her. But she believed, number one. Number two, she spoke it out. She says, I'm going to touch him. I don't care what happens. I'm going to touch him. So she believed. She spoke it out. Number three, she acted. She moved in that crowd and the press and everybody was around Jesus. She got in there and touched his garment. Jesus turned around. He said, who touched me? He says, I know virtue. I know power went out of me. But it was the lady's faith. He said, great is your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. We will never get faith from the world, for us, in our situation. We are definitely two worlds. I will say that the world has done an okay job with what they had. And I wouldn't bash them. Some of it, sure. A lot of junk, but the ones that have tried, they've done okay, but it's works. And they haven't made it. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. And again, it's not about us. It's about what we can do within the kingdom So we need to find out who we are. And it begins with becoming righteous, which is being born again and understanding who we are. Righteousness means being able to stand or having the ability to stand in the presence. How many can stand in the presence of a holy God without the sense of guilt, the right guilt, shame, condemnation, or fear? He says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take unto me my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. We have to come to him. There's no other way. The third sickness, I guess I should mention that, was hepatitis C. Hepatitis C makes you feel sick all the time. When I went on a specific treatment for it, because each time, each sickness, I would ask the Lord what I should do. Do I have the faith to walk through this? And if he said no, then I go with plan B, the next best thing. As I said earlier, the doctors are not out to hurt you. Many times we get a knock on the door. Will you give in to the Heart and Stroke Foundation? We are fighting a battle and we want to win. They know that sickness and disease is the enemy. God knows sickness and disease is of the enemy. The devil knows it because he's the creator of it. So we as the body of Christ need to get a hold of that. And then we need to know how to come against it. And God shows us how. Through his word, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This woman who had the sickness for 12 years, she knew what she had to do. I also believe, too, that we need to be in a position to be able to operate based on what the Lord tells us to do. And I'm talking about, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these. Why? Because I go to my Father. In Luke chapter 9, he sent out the 12. He told them to cast out demons and heal the sick. They were operated under a limited power of authority or attorney. In Luke 10, he sent out 70, 2 by 2. They also were sent out, but they were under a limited power of attorney. But they did go out. That was Luke chapter 10. If you go down to about verse 17, they returned with joy. Said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. This is limited power, limited authority. He said, yeah, I've seen Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Verse 18. And verse 19 says, behold, I give you power, authority, to tread on all snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing by any means shall hurt you, including sickness, disease. Verse 20 says, but do not rejoice that these are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are part of a family that is the elite, and I'm saying that humbly in the right spirit. We are not dirty dog worms. We are not old. Old things have passed away. We're new creations in Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, Jesus comes along after his death. And he gives us unlimited power now. We weren't just working under his mantle anymore. Because it wasn't just the 12 in Luke 9. It was in Luke 10, the 70, two by twos. We could put ourselves at least in that group if you would say, hey, that was the apostles and that was for them. He says, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. He says, lo, and I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. That's an amazing statement. He also said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and throughout, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be damned. We have to jump in there. He says, in my name you'll cast out demons. You'll speak with other tongues. If anything deadly bites you, or if you drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm you. Then he says, you'll lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. So that takes away the thing of, oh, well, I don't walk in an office of a pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, apostle, and so on. That's for us, the regular, everyday, born-again Christian. Can you see that? That's for us. So now we have to look for opportunities to do this. And I said this morning, I kind of stressed it. But that's what I do. I like to do that. Whether it's some kid behind the counter at McDonald's or wherever it is, some business person somewhere, always look for the way in. We need wisdom, though. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him call of God, let him ask of God, and God will give to you liberally. In other words, he'll give it to you because you asked. There'll be no holding back. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. So I love to take time and just make a date with the Lord and keep it, because there's nothing more important. I'm not really afraid of men or what they think anymore. I used to be. What are they going to do, kill me? Doctors have told me over and over that I will die. This third sickness, which was the hepatitis C, I was fourth stage. And they told me that I would die. And this time, though, they give me a longer sentence. I would die within 5 years. And you must do this medication and take this and that and this and that. And I went with it. The drugs that I took was equal to $70,000. Now in Canada, you don't pay for that. It was chemotherapy, ribavirin, and Vectrelis. 24 capsules a day. It was to hit the hepatitis. I was supposed to do it for 48 weeks. I was also to self-inject myself with chemo. After 3 or 4 months of this, I think, you know, what's wrong with me? What am I doing taking a needle of chemo and hitting myself? All the while knowing that God heals. But he was doing that in me to be able to share it with people with a conviction and the experience that, hey, this works. Anyways, I could be off a little bit on the weeks and that. The third time was, I was very confused. So the first cancer, lots of fear. The second cancer, lots of weakness. And the third, hepatitis C, was much confusion. I wouldn't even drive my car. The first sickness, I spent 1 year praying in tongues, and confessing the word. The second sickness I took a year and a half because I was weaker and it went deeper and farther. The enemy tried a little harder, I guess. But in the year and a half, still, 8, 10, 12 hours a day in my room praying in the spirit, confessing the word. And the third one was only 6 months, but I was very confused. Ended up in the hospital. And I told this part, but I think I need to tell it again. The doctor came in. It was about 14 months ago now. I think it was November, early November. So this November that just passed, it was a year ago. The doctor came into my hospital room, and he said, I'm mad at myself. And there was no entourage of nurses or anybody or any of the doctors behind him. There was no play, no game. And I was alone in my hospital bed. And the reason I got there was because I couldn't hold down a sup of water anymore. And that's why I was in the hospital, dehydrated, blood transfusions. Some people are against that, but if it's death or blood transfusion, it's not rocket science. So I took the blood transfusion. If any of you are in the medical field, platelets were wacky. Red and white cells were way, way down. Hemoglobin was hardly there, which is oxygen in the blood. Very confused. Couldn't hold anything down. So the doctor said to me, I'm very mad at myself. And I said, well, why? He said, because what I've been giving you has been killing you. And that was it. I said, after 12 years, I've been doing this. Now, I didn't feel terrible every day. There was just many portions over that 12 years. There was very little time that I felt really well or good. Because with them kinds of sicknesses and diseases, there are times that you have good days, so on. So I was able to go out or do things and stuff. In any case, it wasn't, the penny dropped then, it hit. It wasn't that night, but it was the next day. I come out of that bed, I said, I will never be sick again. People over the last year have looked at me and watched. We've mentioned Pastor Jim this morning. He's a friend of mine, and last year in January he gave me opportunity to preach. And when I stand behind the pulpit then, I knew I wanted to get back there because I knew I had to, it's like driving a car and being in an accident, you have to get back in after. If you know what I mean? But I couldn't even remember the scripture, John 3:16, because of what these things did to my mind. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind needed renewing. It was like I had it in there, but I couldn't get it up there. It was hard to speak out. But he gave me opportunity to stand in the pulpit. And I know I fumbled through it, but I got the message out. And so I've been very appreciative of that for a long time. Well, since then, that's a year ago, this month. I went to the doctors after that. First of all, I didn't go to the doctors. They wanted to put me on more drugs. I didn't bother. I didn't want nothing to do with doctors, hospitals, nurses, nothing. And for almost a year, that's the way I went. While some people were watching and thinking, okay, any minute he's going to go, he's going to die, something's going to give, blah, blah, blah. But in any case, I'm going to say about a month or so ago, I did go see my GP. He sent me out for some tests. The tests come back above average. Not just average. I'm talking about blood. So now I got the doctor confused. But I knew I was healed. But just to make sure, a couple weeks or so later, we did it again. And just before I left to come down here, I'm saying a week or so ago, a couple of days before we left, actually, the second set came back and nothing. No trace of hepatitis C, cancer. Everything is above normal. I lost 12 years in there, man, and I'm making it back.
Praise God. Praise God.
And the enemy can know that. Some people say, oh, don't speak too loud. I yell at him. I tell him where he's going.
Hallelujah.
There is completely no fear of that guy anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible tells us in Isaiah, we'll be walking by later on, another dispensation. We'll look down at him and we'll say, is this the one that, you know, took the world and just flipped it and destroyed it? And see, many people are going to hell because they believe all the lies that the enemy has put out there. In John 8 and 44, Jesus says that he's a liar. He's the father of it. And you must give him this, that he has been very good at it, because he's put a lot of things in play in all the countries. In Canada, we have for, I guess our provincial leader, she is lesbian. We have pushed the last two prime ministers ago, he pushed through gay marriage. You see, he thought in a business sense that it was right, and technically, I mean, you have the freedom to do what you want. But they forget the morality part of it. Morally, it's so wrong. It's one of the reasons I don't have cable anymore. I can't stand watching this stuff. I'm not against the cable. But I know I'll be out as well, so why pay for that too? Jesus is Lord. In Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John going into prayer. And they now discover that they can operate with the power of attorney in the name of Jesus, in an unlimited fashion. They just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. Luke 24:49. It's a promise of the Father. Now, they took the lame man. They didn't give him anything. I mean, anything that he wanted. But he did get something. Verse 5 and 6, they said, look at me. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Somebody said, I think it was John G. Lake, he said that that guy was about 40 years old. I don't know if it mentions that. But for 40 years, if you're sitting and laying on your backside and begging, and you've not used your legs or your ankles or your feet or your toe bones or anything like that, this is an amazing miracle. Not only did he get healed, but he got strength in his feet, because he wasn't just kind of creeping along. He was walking and leaping and praising God. I could just imagine. If it was 40 years, jumping up and down, he probably looked like a bunny rabbit. But he fell in love with God, and he realized that in that name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's not about us. I'd like to read this There are many miracles that God has been doing in our life. But this one I want to read. Actually, I'll begin by telling you. And then I'd like to pray. Because I believe the faith has been rising tonight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a gentleman that's up north. He lives in a place called Kitchener. That's 4 hours from a place called Peterborough. I tell you that to say this. In Peterborough, there's a pastor, and he was having some revival meetings, and he asked me to come along just to be in the meetings. They were Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday twice, Sunday twice, and Monday night. I wasn't to share or to lead. The first Sunday I'm going back, I will be. But this time he just wanted me there just to sit back and just kind of be there for whatever reason. This is an hour from my home, but this revivalist lives 4 hours from this town. So he called the revivalist in. So Thursday night he shows up and he starts preaching. Powerful message on revival. When it ended, the pastor called 3 or 4 pastors up, and I was one of them. And they said, will you pray for this person? Well, God had been speaking a little bit to me in my seat. But when I went up, it was like the anointing hit. It's wonderful about the anointing, but it's also, we need the inner witness. The anointing seems to come and go in terms of us, the manifest presence. We have the anointing on the inside, but what I mean is we can feel it, then we don't, if you know what I mean. But inside, the witness is always there. We need to connect both of them. So when I went up, we prayed at the front, and God led me in the prayer. And when I laid my hand on him, I rebuked the spirit of death and commanded it out of him. I found out later that day, he was supposed to be in the hospital having an operation because he had pancreas cancer. He heard from the Lord, and the Lord said, you don't have to take the operation. Go do your meetings. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes it can be difficult to do a couple of meetings when you're well. But this guy was sick and in a lot of pain, but he trusted God. This was his way. It may not be every way for everyone. Everything is different. In any case, we all left and went home. So he did his meetings, and then Monday night I had opportunity to go back. Because of our crazy weather, I was late. When I walked in, this place was packed. So I just grabbed a little seat at the back. And when he seen me, now, this is 4 days later after I prayed, and I hadn't seen him in between. When he seen me, he stopped the meeting, and he looked back, and he said, Reverend Mike. Now, I am a reverend, but he called me a reverend. I thought, oh, okay. But in any case, he said, since the other night that you prayed for me, I've had no pain. And I'm totally healed. Now, we need doctors to confirm that, right? So he goes home, and he's starting to preach up storms at home. Good storms, though. And then I get an email that was sent by a gentleman by the name of Paul, who was in that area. This was George. He says, last night I went into Open the Floodgates Revival in Kitchener. So now he's back from that town to his hometown. He says, I thought to sit near the back, but was brought up in the front row. And before long, I was standing with other ministers at the front. Soon a microphone was put in my hand, declaring the things of God and what God is doing here in our community. The atmosphere was electric. And one after another, people started coming out of their wheelchairs as he began to pray. Others left walkers behind. Others gave testimony of healing from previous meetings. These testimonies including healing from leukemia to a man coming out of a coma. Now, this gentleman I prayed for, who was supposed to be on the operating table, all I did was follow the leading of the Lord. And now as he is out there tearing it up, some of that fruit is coming to me because I've been obedient. You need to listen to that. Look for ways to pray for people. And when you pray, believe. If nothing happens and you don't see anything with your natural eye, know this. Every prayer prayed, if it's according to God's will, because you can't say, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. But every prayer prayed is meant to be answered. The next day or two or whatever, that was Paul. Somebody by the name of Carol says, 3 weeks ago, George was diagnosed with cancer. See, when you do something and people get healed like this, there's a lot of people that marvel, and that's God's revival. We'll look at Matthew 15 in a minute. So 3 weeks ago, George was diagnosed with cancer in his pancreas, leading to his stomach. He was just been told that there's no cancer in him. Thank you, Lord. But it's spreading. It's spreading. So George writes me. He says, hi, Mike. Blah, 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 a few things. He says, now here's a testimony for you. He says, a week or so ago, whatever it was, and this is of late, this is not something that happened years ago. I could share a lot of things that God has done years ago. This is of late, just prior to Christmas. A week or so ago, I was admitted to the hospital because he went from the doctor. He wanted to have another checkup with the hospital. The doctor says all tests show that there was cancer in the pancreas and even the lungs. He said, at that time, I remember your prayer in Peterborough. This guy's about 65 years old. He's tearing it up. Even then, I know that your prayer was bang on and in the Lord. So I clung to that prayer when you broke the spirit of death off of me. A week later, I was discharged from the hospital. The doctors said they had made a mistake and that there is no cancer. He says, but you and I both know that this was the manifestation, he said, of my prayer, but it was the manifestation of the Spirit of God through me because I was obedient. He says, I know that this was the manifestation of your prayer being answered and the fruit of what happens when one clings to prayer offered up. This is a major testimony documented. And he's 65-ish, and he's tearing it up. And everything that he tears up, I get part. Hallelujah. In terms of the next kingdom. It's not a money thing. I'm not interested in money, other than for my needs and supplies. It's a major thing. And the testimony, and so we're supposed to get together. When I get back, I can hardly wait. Hear what the Lord has been doing, but... another testimony, we are up in Quebec. I have a book back there that has my life story. I didn't write it. Jamie wrote it. My daughter, Jamie, we're very, very close. I'm close with all my kids. But she's the one that always comes for the affection, comes and calls and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes a couple a day, and sometimes it's, well, Dad, you know, you're a great guy, but I could never live with you. You know, I mean, she just... But she's been in ministry for 20 years. And so it's good to be able to talk like that. But I always remind her that I'm her dad first. In any case, we were up in Quebec and this lady seen this book. She had never been to this church before. I was ministering in a church. And she came in and she sat in the front row. After I stopped ministering, I found out that she had had a cancer on the inside. And we stopped, we went over to pray. And I prayed against that cancer. I know the cancer left. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because 4 days later, I seen her, and she was moving in the healing. Pastors know her, confirmed it. But while we were there, I was praying. I know the cancer went. And so here's one of the catches, though, the keys. She did not know the Lord. And I love it when somebody comes to church. They don't know Christ, but they get healed. What do you think they're going to do? She got born again right there. Then the pastor is with me, and I'm moving. I'm loving this. And so I talked to her, and I know the pastor looked at me as if to say, I don't know if you should do that. But I said, I want to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I prayed, and I get Donna to help me because there's an anointing on her for to do that. And we prayed, she came up with this glorious tongue. And any time I'm up there ministering, I always, always talk to them about homework. I had a friend one time, 30 years ago. I've been saved almost 40, but maybe 30, 35 years ago. We're having meetings at the house. Demons were flying out all over the place and all the rest of it. Today it'd be different the way we would operate in it. But in them days, it was raw and it was just bang. They were leaving. But this guy by the name of Eddie, I used to take people out of the prison and let them come in my live in my home for a few weeks just to get their feet sort of balanced. Because when you come out of a jail, you feel and like paranoid and you don't know exactly how to live. It's really a strange thing, but that's the way it is. You got to get sort of integrated back into the system. And so I would help them out. But this guy was Eddie, named Eddie. He got out and he was doing okay and he was living at the house. And during one of these meetings, he said, gee, Mike, I want you to pray for me for deliverance. I said, no, Eddie, you can't handle it right now. He says, well, haven't I been doing good? I've been here a couple of weeks, blah, blah, blah. I said, yes, you have, but you're not ready. Well, he seemed desperate because he grabbed my arm and he said, will you please pray for me? I want this thing gone, the thing that got him into jail in the first place. He really was sincere and wanted to walk right. I thought, okay, because I was younger in the Lord. Then I said, no, go read Ephesians 25 times and then we'll talk. You get that into you to where you know what it's talking about or something. Anyway, I prayed for him, cast the demon out. 6 weeks later, he wasn't dead, but he was found down on Young Street, which is a main drag. Lots of bars and stuff like that, beaten to a pulp because he did not follow through with what he was supposed to do. By then, though, he had been out of the house. I just had him for 2 or 3 weeks or something. When we move in ministry, we must realize that when you cast out a demon, they go into dry places. Their idea of life is living and acting their personality out in someone. And as a born-again Christian, it's not in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not stay in the same place as a demon. The demon has nothing to do with that. We're stamped. It's done. But in the soulish realm, in the mind, in the will, in the emotions. So we need to know that. Anyways, Eddie was beaten to a pulp that day because he did not follow up and do his homework. I shared this morning about that lady who had schizophrenia. And I also should have said this, that for many people, especially in the world, counselors and so on, they would say that didn't happen because they have to go through certain stages of getting healed and counseling and so on. But I'll tell you, King Jesus doesn't need to go through all that. Yes. If he wants someone delivered and dealt with, bang, it's done. And I told her to do homework too for 30 days. and I know she's stayed delivered and walking in freedom. How do I know? Because we were driving down here and the pastor called me on the road. Said she's doing amazing. She's doing her homework. We need to, and I'm just going to swing back on this, we need to, as Christians, continually do the homework.
Yes.
We need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to be worshiping. We need to be confessing the Word. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, guess what? You will have the things that you say. You can pray it or say it. Father, I just worship you tonight, and I thank you for who you are. Just pray your rich blessing, Lord. I speak healing to each and every person here right now. In Jesus' name. I will have a line up here and I will pray with you. I'll lay hands on you if you want. But before we do any of that, I would like you, because the Lord showed me this, if there's something you could not do before, do it. If there's a place on you that needs to be healed, touch it if it's appropriate. But you do it. And you're going to be surprised. Before I pray, I would just like to share one more thing in terms of confession. If you are dealing with a sickness, you have to realize that a sickness is not of God. You have to know that, number one. Number two, you have to know that you've been redeemed from all of them sicknesses. Deuteronomy 28, verse 61 says, every sickness, every disease, which is not written here, and they list a whole bunch of diseases. He said, will I allow to come on you if you do not keep the law? Now, you're not under the law. But the enemy takes that and he'll try to put something on you. And he'll try to fool us. Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need the knowledge. We need to know who he is. And he's a liar. So there's the sicknesses and diseases. But over in Galatians 3, 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But the blessings of Abraham, it's amazing what the blessings of Abraham are. That the blessings of Abraham may come on the Gentiles, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, if they're in Christ. We being evil, know to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father give to us the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I think that's Luke 11, 11. So what you say in terms of sickness, you say sickness, you cannot stay in this body. And according to what the enemy would say, that this sickness would stay, you say something like this. In fact, here's what to say. If you have a sickness, let's say cancer, you say, cancer, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61, you are a curse of the law. But according to Galatians chapter 3, 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law and that sickness. Therefore, I confess that I am redeemed from cancer. If you do that over and over and over, you're going to find that that cancer becomes the ant, and the scripture that Christ is your redeemer becomes the elephant. When you put enough word in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. God cannot lie. He's an immutable God. He's not a man that he should lie. Put the word into you. It becomes so big in you.
Yes.
That the sickness and disease becomes so small, it can't stay. When the supernatural hits the natural, something will give. and it won't be the supernatural. Put the word in you. Pray in the Spirit. Learn how to pray in the Spirit and read the word. Is there anybody that would like prayer? Come on up. Back to you, Pastor. Thank you. But if there's anybody that wants prayer, I'm going to stay here.
Hallelujah. So you can come on and come down and just stand. Hallelujah. Just line up against. Praise you, Jesus.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you are the dynamite of heaven. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you all for staying and praying. And we've had a wonderful day, haven't we? It's been really, really good. So we just give God all the glory. Thank you, Father. We praise you and give you all the glory. Thank you for all these things from the bottom of our heart. We bless you. And we bless all these in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this evening. If you want to stop by before you leave and say hi to Pastor Mike and Donna, that'd be great too. So you're free whenever you're